time to catch up with the Carte Blanche team. And before we tackle this week's story, I just want to give you a quick update on a story we shared with you 2 weeks ago when Catherine Rice joined me in studio talking about the collapse of service provision in the town of Knysna. Not sure if you've heard the news that at Friday's council meeting in Knysna, the council agreed to formally adopt the assessment and support plan which had been drafted by provincial government and put to them in response to the crisis in the town. We know the Premier was saying last week how much he hoped that they would have the sense to do so. Well, it did happen. That plan now commits them to finding a way forward to resolving the major issues. It speaks to issues of fiscal discipline and oversight. It talks about filling the several really crucial appointments which have remained unappointed for some time. There's a commitment to improving procedures and controls around some of the key functions to try and unlock proper service delivery once again. And not surprisingly, sewerage, water management, solid waste removal, those have been identified as the critical areas for attention. So that's where we are. The council adopting that plan. The local government MEC Anton Bridell now saying that provincial and national officials will convene in the next couple of days to coordinate how they can best support that municipal recovery plan. And also interesting to note, he has warned that if the directives that have been issued are not followed, specifically when it comes to preventing further sewage spills, criminal charges will be brought against the responsible officials. So quite serious stuff happening. In the meantime, you might have seen on your social media, I've certainly been sent several videos in the last few hours of how the local Knysna residents came together this past weekend to try and clean up the city centre. Had been looking very dilapidated, as Catherine described to us, rubbish being dumped everywhere, no cleaning of the streets happening, etc. Knysna residents turned out in numbers this weekend to do it themselves, trimming trees, clearing rubble, removing graffiti, replanting the verges along Main Road, etc. So really encouraging to see residents just saying, we're not going to allow this to happen. We'll do the little bit that we can do. And hopefully this is now a turning point for the municipality getting back on track. So we'll keep you posted on that story. If you're listening to us from Knysna today, love to know your thoughts on these latest developments. Maybe you were part of one of those cleanup crews who hit the town this weekend. Send us a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. In the meantime, though, we're going to take you much further inland today for our Carte Blanche story to the province of Limpopo. That is where you'll find a bunch of grannies who have found solace, community, a bit of a new lease on life, really, through their passion for the beautiful game. Let's hear the story of the Vagegula, as we welcome back Carte Blanche producer Taryn Crossman, who brought us last night's segment on their story. Taryn, it's lovely to have you back on the show again. Welcome.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you.
The team's name means the grannies in Tsonga. Just how old are these grannies that you met?
Well, they range all the way. I mean, the main case studies we had in the film, I mean, they were over 70 and over 80.
Yeah.
But I think they range from like 60 plus, really, yeah.
And how did your team come to hear about them and get yourselves off to Zanine to tell their story?
I'd heard about them years ago and I was really fascinated by the story, but it wasn't until last year when they held the first Soccer Grannies World Cup.
Yeah.
And then, we pitched the story again this year and then drove out to Zanine.
And when we say the Soccer Grannies World Cup, this isn't like the American World Series where there's only one country participating. This is an actual international event. How many countries came to Zanine to play in the Grannies World Cup last year?
So, I mean, the work that Becca's done, because Becca started this team, and then from this team, subsequently, she started teams all over the world. Well, not started the teams, but inspired people to start teams.
Yep.
I mean, in the USA, teams came from USA, France, Zambia, Mozambique. Yeah, literally all over the world.
It's such a beautiful story. Let's go back to its founding. As you've mentioned, Mama Becca, the founder of the team, it goes all the way back 16 years ago. What made her decide to get the local grannies playing soccer? Where did it sort of spring from?
Yeah, so Becca got really sick, and she was really sick. She was in a wheelchair, and she had lost a lot of weight, and she had lost a lot of muscle mass. And the doctor said to her, listen, you're not going to make it unless you start to get physically active.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful story. I mean, she literally said to me, she took it one step at a time. literally, she went from her wheelchair to the bathroom, her wheelchair to the bedroom, her wheelchair down the road. And as she started walking down the streets in her local area, she met other, like, elderly women. Mm-hmm. And her and Bull in the story actually became friends. And they were sitting on a soccer field one day, and a ball came towards them, and they kicked it back. And then Bull came to Becca and were like, that was so much fun. Couldn't we do that as well? And it was just this idea of, like, she was saying she didn't support, the granny supported her, the elderly woman in the community, as she was walking around and she was still ill, gave her a shoulder to lean on. And that kind of inspired the team.
And so it began. I mean, Taryn, the beautiful thing about the story is obviously from a perspective of physical health, being active and up on your feet and moving around is going to be beneficial. But what I got the sense of in the segment last night was the immense emotional benefit that the sport has had for these women. Tell us a little bit more about that.
That for me was really, that's really what kind of touched me when I met the woman and I spent a bit of time with them in Zameen, was that, yes, the physical, the low blood pressure. I mean, she was saying none of the team got incredibly sick during COVID, whereas they were all part of the kind of category of people that could have got very, very ill. But it's the community that I think has affected their lives so dramatically. Like, these people, like so many of the women, were so isolated and alone in this daily grind of taking care of everybody else except themselves.
Yeah.
And now they're a group of women that are like accountable for each other. If someone doesn't rock up to practice, somebody goes to look for them. Mm. Someone checks on them. Someone sits down. They sit down. They listen to each other. They eat together. They really are like a family, you know? So no one's alone anymore. Which I think has really aided to their improvement in health and mental health, you know?
Yeah. These women take the game seriously, Taryn. I mean, Mum Lizzie running 21 kilometres every Saturday morning at the age of 73. I took my park run and parked it to the side in embarrassment listening to that figure. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. They take it seriously. It's keeping them physically fit. It's keeping them communally connected and helping them manage stress and that sort of thing. But, I mean, let's talk a little bit about how the seed planted has grown. As you've mentioned, to be able to have an international tournament last year tells you that the message has spread way beyond the borders of Zameen, partly because these women have taken it there themselves. They've actually gone on several international tours, haven't they?
Yeah, they're actually heading to Mauritius now.
Okay.
In the next couple of days, they're going to Mauritius for a tournament. Yeah, Becca's worked really hard. I mean, before this, before joining the soccer grannies, a lot of the women had never travelled, and they've done tours. I mean, they've played at the F&B Stadium in Johannesburg.
Amazing.
They've travelled to the USA. They've travelled to France. They've travelled to Russia, and played everywhere. And they really do take the game seriously. Like, we say soccer grannies, but they're just elderly women who are really competitive, you know, and they want to win. So
you could hear quite clearly that they were disappointed not to win the inaugural World Cup last year. It was the Americans who took that particular trophy home. But I believe there's another one coming up next year, Taryn.
Yeah, so they're in the process of planning. So the teams have all committed so far. So they've got teams from the USA, teams from France, more teams from the USA than before, more teams from France than before, multiple teams from Zambia. So the teams have all committed. It's 2025. It's going to be held in Zameen again. But they don't have the big sponsor that they need. But they didn't have the big sponsor in 2023 either. You know, Becca just works really hard. And she has the backing of the local municipality a little bit. So there is that. But they will hold it next year.
Okay, so it's back again next year. It would be amazing to see some of our corporates responding to the piece last night and saying, we'd like to help make this tournament bigger and better than ever. In the meantime, though, you talk about community support in the municipality. Taryn, they're filling the stadia, though. The seats around the field are certainly full of eager spectators. That should count in favour of any efforts to find a sponsor.
That's what I thought. Because, I mean, literally the 3 days that they held their tournament, that stadium was full of people supporting the teams, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that last night's segment might just be the catalyst that gets a little bit of sponsorship on board to help them take this to the next level. In the meantime, though, Taryn, I mean, we mentioned the international spread, but we should also mention the fact that I believe there are now more than 200 granny soccer teams right here in South Africa. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has spread. It's spread beyond Zameen. So in Zameen and then beyond. So Gauteng, KZN, it is spreading locally as well, which is awesome.
That's fantastic. I wonder if anybody has got themselves organized to get this going in the Western Cape anywhere. If there's anyone listening saying, yes, I've got a team like that, or I'd like to start one, please do reach out to us and let's have a conversation. Taryn, I don't know if you heard any reference to Cape Town or the Western Cape at all.
I haven't. No, I didn't. I can speak to Becca, though, but I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
If I hear anything, I will send you a message.
Thanks. I'm certainly not aware of one myself, but that doesn't mean it's not already happening out there and just hasn't reached our ears. So I'd love to hear from anybody who might know more than we do. In the meantime, Taryn, I mean, it was such a lovely, uplifting story, but also I think an important one that speaks very much to the theme of how much physical exercise can benefit mental and emotional health and the role it can play in community building. I mean, what do you hope viewers will take away from that segment last night?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I think getting old can be lonely. You know, you're retired, you're leaving your community from a workforce perspective. A lot of these old people were so elderly people, were so isolated. And when I say elderly, I mean 50 plus, 60, you know. And finding this passion again, just keep moving, you know. Just if you keep moving, your mind stays alert, your body stays eager, you know. And keeping that community and friendship and love and connection really changed their lives. And I think we can all take that from each other, you know. Check in on each other, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Taryn Crossman, great to have you on the show again, and thank you for a really lovely, uplifting story last night. Taryn, the producer of that segment on Carte Blanche last night. Now, just a reminder that if you didn't see the show last night, firstly, if you are already a DSTV subscriber, look for the catch-up function and you'll be able to watch last night's episode, including the segment on the soccer grannies. If you're not a DSTV subscriber, do remember that the segments from Carte Blanche make their way to the Carte Blanche website roughly by the middle of the week. So give it another day or two and you should be able to watch the video clip there if you're interested in getting to know the grannies a little bit better.